ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 160. Is it 169? 170 feeling heavenly, the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I am your host, Eric Wahlquist. Joining me this week, as he does each and every week, is the other guest host, because we're both guest hosts, apparently. The other guest host of the show, his name is...
170 episodes of being a guest host.
Yeah.
Well, like 165 or something. I'm Jesse, POW in a former life, Wilson.
Oh, are you exploring previous existential planes?
We will get to this later.
Okay. Wow, that's called a tease. I know what that means, 170 episodes in.
Yeah, it only took me 170 episodes, but I perfected the art of the tease.
I don't know. Is perfecting the art of the tease also not mentioning that it is a tease?
Yeah. That's some sort of super tease.
Got it. Okay. Maybe another 170 episodes. We'll figure that one out. Jesse, how was your week, buddy?
It's fine.
Yeah. How about, I got to play some football this past weekend, which I think everybody should find some buddies to play football with on the weekend.
I really want to.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone does in this town. I live in a town of old people who are retired.
Yep.
So I could be like the RG3.
You could be really good.
Of the flag football.
Right. But probably not. I've seen you play football. Anyway.
I could be like, hey now.
I had a great time playing football on Saturday, which was a great experience because watching the Seahawks game on Monday was such a huge labor. It was so bad. Although it gave us probably the greatest Ron Burgundy Anchorman lead in, which is Tate taints the touchdown with a taunt.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I like that taunt.
showing a little bit of spirit out there on the field from Golden Tate.
That's Blood Bowl, baby. I love Golden Tate. I call him the sneaky devil, and I also call him the goblin.
Why?
Because he's like having a goblin on your team. He's not that big, but he's like super fast and agile, right? And he comes down with like crazy plays.
That was an insane play. Like, that was a underthrown ball. It was a sure interception, and he just comes out of nowhere and snatches it out of the air and then scores a touchdown.
But like, what really got me going on it was the Green Bay interception. Hail Mary, you know?
Oh, yeah, the Hail Mary.
If you watch that, he totally just shoves a guy over right before he jumps. Like, there's a guy in front of him who's bending down to jump up, and he just gives him a firm shove in the back.
That's Blood Bowl, baby.
That's Blood Bowl, baby. Yeah. And he is, like, having a sneaky little goblin on your team. I love it. All right. He's also our star receiver now, so that's great.
Yeah, well, Percy Harvin will be back soon, so. Anyway, if you want more football talk, get off my running back. We got a new episode that's up already because I'm not recording on Halloween. It's my favorite holiday of the year. So get off my back for Halloween.
It's compounded. I already loved it, but now it's compounded with my daughter's birthday.
Right. I mean, that's double whammy. I don't know if that's, you know, people always hate having birthdays close to Christmas. I think having your birthday on Halloween is pretty sick.
I think it's going to be good.
Because everybody's like, you know, if for Christmas, everybody's like, well, I got to stay home with my family and open presents. For Halloween, they're like, I'm looking for a party. And you're like, I've got a double party. Come on over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm excited for little Russell Nisha's birthday on Saturday, birthday celebration. Hopefully she isn't too terrified by my Dark Knight costume, but we shall see.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
I got you a present.
Anyway, Jesse, what are you drinking this week?
Actually, Eric, I'm letting up the gas a little bit on my beer consumption.
Oh, okay.
I go through this about once a year.
Right.
It's usually around this time of year, so.
Yeah, great time to do it during winter seasonal season.
Trust me, they'll be around for a while.
This sounds like a spring seasonal endeavor to me.
No.
Anyway. So you're cutting back.
Yeah, I might have overdone it a little bit during the football game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm just taking it easy. I got a really gross story. Do you want to hear it?
Maybe we have such a packed show tonight.
Okay.
Is it a short gross story?
I can
maybe save it for another gross time.
Okay.
Is it a spooky story? Because then it's thematic.
It's a little spooky.
All right, do it. Just do it. We've already spent
I was hungover on Tuesday morning.
Uh huh.
and I had to work at 6 a.m.
My wife loves the stories, by the way, of you, you know, your diarrhea and puking. She loves those.
Well, seriously, this is a gross story, so jump ahead like 5 minutes if you don't.
Five minutes?
Don't want to hear it. So I'm already a little hungover, and the brew platform at work mm-hmm. is about 3 feet up off the ground, and there's a bunch of stuff underneath it, so it's really hard to get underneath there if you drop something.
Okay.
And leaves and stuff get in there. So I just checked to make sure it wasn't clogged with leaves, and I see a little tail poking out.
Oh, no.
And this happens in every brewery. Every brewery I know of has rat problems.
Well, because you have a lot of grain around.
Yeah, exactly. There's grain.
Yeah.
So I have to, like, get on all fours, get under the brew platform, and I grab a squeegee.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, rake it with the squeegee and pull it towards me. And little chunks come off of it.
Decomposed.
And I'm like, please be grain husks. Please just be grain husks. And then they start, like, writhing and squirming. I'm like, okay, those are definitely maggots. So I get out of there and start hacking.
And, like, man.
Almost lose vision because I'm so disgusted.
What? Wow. Apparently you should watch The Walking Dead when you're hungover either.
Yeah,
lots of maggots
exactly.
on that show.
And then, so, long story short, I had to grab it with my hands. I grabbed it through a trash bag, and then I was almost fine until when I picked it up and shoved it in a trash bag. It left behind a little rat-shaped pile of hair and maggots.
Oh, no.
I just ran out to the parking lot and started hacking.
Oh,
and
man.
I should keep it all down, but
well, there you go.
I swore off booze forever.
Well, okay. Good luck with that. I'm actually going to be drinking this week the I Do Brew from JR and Chelsea's wedding. JR, a loyal listener, sent this in. He had this specially brewed for his wedding, the Hoppily Ever After Hybrid Ale. So I'm going to give this one a taste. Oh, God. That's exactly what I like. Have you drank yours yet?
I had mine on Sunday.
Yeah,
it's really good.
It's really good. I love it when the hops give you that fruity flavor and not the bitter flavor. This is definitely like a fruity hop. I like it.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of like a... I swear it's got like a farmhouse Brettanomyces sort of flavor to it. It's almost like saison-y. It's got nice, very pleasant esters. I really enjoyed it. And it actually takes me to this week's dedication,
mm-hmm.
Eric. This episode is dedicated to Roan Renna.
Roan Renna.
The man who brewed it, if you look at the bottom on the back.
Okay.
Yeah,
I believe that's JR's father or uncle.
Well,
relative.
There you go. It's really good.
And I think it might be Ron.
Well, there's an H in there.
There's an H in John.
But, yeah, you make a good point.
Yep, I do.
All right, Ron. Ron.
And JR was also...
Your name is bad, but your beer is good.
JR was also on the Get Up My Running Back podcast this week, so you can listen to him there. I'm actually going to do a double dedo this week because we got a loyal friend who needs some help. And this is going to bring me right into our listener feedback for this week. Everybody's favorite DDS is looking for a little love this week. So let's hear what he has to say.
What's up, guys? It's Roger here. Just calling to let you know I've got a big Friday coming up. It's big and not such a hot way. I'm going to be in the operating room, and my attending is one of those people you see in the movies, essentially, who literally treats you like the dirt you found under your shoe. Like, his learning style, his teaching style is to make you feel like crap, which I fear helps you learn. You learn your stuff, but everything you do, he pretty much calls you an idiot, and, you know, he does it because he cares. That's what they say. Either way, I don't handle that sort of teaching well. I'm kind of like you guys. Not to make fun of you guys, but you are self-proclaimed softies. I'm a softie as well. And I just know Friday is going to suck. I'm going to be really upset. So I guess I'm calling to let you know I'm saving your podcast for Friday afternoon when I'm finished after, 8 hours or so of just getting, stepped on a lot. I'm going to save it. And I want you to tell me how you guys handle situations like that. If you've ever been in situations like that where your supervisor is just, you know, hard, rough, and there's nothing you can do about it. And if so, how do you deal with it? Like, so basically, I want you guys to cheer me up. Dance, monkeys, dance. Cheer me up. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, I'm scared about Friday. Can't wait to hear you guys talk about it. And I don't even get to enjoy Halloween because I have to go to bed at, like, 9 o'clock so that I can be there at 6:30 in the morning. Okay, that's it. Happy Halloween, guys. See you later.
Happy Halloween, Roger. Get off my back. It's you know, it's always rough. We've all had that boss that's really written us hard. It's not fun. Jesse, do you have any advice for Raj?
Yeah, I've been in that situation.
Oh yeah.
I remind myself that it's part of my job. Putting up mm-hmm. with your boss is part of your job.
Right.
Even if your boss is a jerk.
They literally pay you to do it.
Yeah. It is in the job description as putting up with this jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And also just I focus on like the self-improvement aspect. If you can leave at the end of the day and you're better at what you do than when you went in there, even if it was a rough day, you're better for it. So just focus on that.
Yep, there you go. And, you know, sometimes, Roger, when I get a little down, I like to write a song for my friends. So, Roger, I know you had a bad day, and so I went ahead and wrote this song for you. Roger, you had a bad day, but it's okay. It's okay. Roger, you had a bad day, but it's okay to have a bad day. Yeah, it's okay if you want to eat some ice cream. And it's okay if you want to watch Breaking Bad. And it's okay if you want to do some laundry or something. But Roger, don't rob a bank because that's not okay. Yeah, Roger watched Ocean's 11 when he was 11. And he thought it was a coincidence that they both had 11 in their names and ages. And Roger, like Brad Pitt's character in that movie, because he ate a lot of food. And Roger ate a lot of food during that time, too, because he was prepubescent. But it's okay if you want to watch Ocean's 11. And it's okay if you want to watch Mad Men, too. And it's okay if you want to blow off some steam by going to the driving range. But Roger, stop robbing banks and casinos because that's illegal and it hurts people. So just quick, stop doing that stuff. I wrote that song for you, Roger. It's the first ever guitar breakout on this podcast.
Yeah, it's a fantastic coincidence that you have that.
But I think that, yeah, I always have it handy. I mean,
oh, that's right.
Episodes.
You're like a banjo kazooie.
Yeah, I've just always had it on me, just in case.
Not banjo kazooie. Who am I thinking of? The horse with El Kabong.
Oh, yeah, of course, El Kabong.
Banjo-Kazooie had a banjo at all times.
Oh, God. Anyway, Roger, have a good day. That's all I'm trying to say.
But seriously, you're a father, so you don't get to do any of those things. You get to go home and take care of your kid.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, let's get to a few more voicemails here. Here we go.
Hey, Eric and Jesse. Jeff from Rochester calling up again. And I have a bit of a confession to make. I'm about 3 weeks behind on the podcast. Once the school year started up again, I had to write some lesson plans and get back in the game with working with the kids. I have had a little bit less time of listening, but I'm getting there. I'm getting caught up. I was about a month and a half back, but now only 3 weeks, so things are going good. A couple of things I wanted to bring up with you guys. First things first, this is a pretty dark time of year for me because by the time the podcast goes out, there's a pretty good chance that the baseball season is going to be completely over. I mean, I appreciate football and all, but I'm a baseball guy through and through, so the long, cold, dark winter is starting to come up for me. Question for you guys, which is completely honest, and also has to do with this dark time. I'm getting concerned because we're getting to that part of November where the Christmas ads are going to start rolling out on TV, and I'm a big thinker into that we should not see any advertisements before Thanksgiving. Once the fat man in the red suit comes on Fifth Ave at the end of the parade, absolutely we can go crazy. But the Christmas creep seems to be popping up earlier and earlier every year, and I was wondering if you guys had any thoughts on that. If you think there's a certain cutoff date where, all right, we can start listening to Christmas carols or any holiday carols or start playing them on the radio and start doing commercials, because for me, not even until after Thanksgiving. And a quick recommendation for you guys this week. Didn't know if you'd ever watched the British sci-fi comedy called Red Dwarf, but if you haven't, I definitely suggest you check it out. There's 9 seasons up on Netflix. The 10th season just aired this past year, and they are starting production on season 11. So a lot of good stuff there. So I got for you guys this week. Love listening to the cast as always, especially when I have a bunch of episodes to catch up on. Get off my back. I'll talk to you later.
Why don't you get off my back?
Get off my back, please.
Where are you standing on this Christmas thing? Because you know I love to just blast Michael Bublé as loud as possible in July.
Well, that was ironic.
But it was also really fun. And I will say, so the Michael Bublé Christmas CD has been in my car all year. It has never left my CD player because I don't listen to CDs in my car. And I have 6 discs in there, so it just has always been in there. And so last night, I decided to turn it on, and you know what? It felt kind of good.
See, I don't like the Christmas creep. Coincidentally, yeah. I am going as the Christmas creep for Halloween. I'm going to wear a very tight-fitting Santa costume and be like, hey, you're a nice-looking woman.
Christmas creep.
And just shave down to my mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Have a long, thin cigarette dangling from my lips at all times.
Perfect.
But besides that, I love Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a seriously underrated holiday.
Right.
I like the feast.
Mm-hmm.
I like it gives everyone a showcase to, or it gives everyone a chance to showcase the dish that they're good at making.
Right.
If you're doing like a potluck style, yep. which I enjoy. Yep. Plus, I do like just taking the time and being like, you know what? Am I actually really thankful?
Wow.
Right now, but harvest feasts are great. Mm-hmm. And when you get your pre-Thanksgiving Christmas commercials, it does detract from that. It almost feels like, well, Thanksgiving is just like a step on the way to Christmas, as opposed to its own thing. I say that's unpatriotic.
Thanksgiving was established by Abraham Lincoln.
This is America, and we should be giving Thanksgiving its due diligence.
That's true. You know,
I think what we should do is we should bump Thanksgiving up.
Right. Canadian Thanksgiving.
To the same weekend as Canadian Thanksgiving.
Right. I mean, Canadian Thanksgiving already happened, and it doesn't get in the way.
Now, plus, I don't like Canadians getting the preemptive Thanksgiving strike on us every year.
You know, the thing about this is that Christmas is now closer to us than Labor Day was. If you think about it.
Wow, that made
me
sad.
We're now closer to Christmas than we are to Labor Day, the previous Labor Day. We're also, the moon landing is closer to 1990 than we are. So if you want to think about that, get depressed.
What?
It is.
That's the first moon landing?
1969, baby. It's 21 years.
21 years off.
And we're 23 years away from 1990.
Wow. That's weird to think about.
You want to? Yeah, it's super weird. And then coming up, we got another voicemail here from, who's this one from? I think this one is from Angela. Here she is.
Hey, Jesse. Hey, Eric. This is Angela from Lubbock, Texas. Last week, you got a ton of drunken phone calls from Texas, and my brothers wondered why none of them were me. So this is mine tonight. I'm actually calling from Denver, Colorado. I am leaving the Great Divide Brewery. Me and my friends went on a brewery tour. And the reason I'm calling is, Jesse, I would like to know, as someone who has worked various jobs in a brewery, how you feel about tours. Because I felt like we just got in the way sometimes. But I also hated everyone on our tour, except for my friends. So is it like a certain type of person who goes that you like? I don't know. Anyway, I don't have anything else to say. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you and good night, Angela. The great thing I love about the word brewery is that you can't say it if you're drunk.
Brewery.
So, Jesse, what about brew tours?
I've actually never worked for a company that formally offers brew tours.
Uh-huh.
I'm drunk, too, apparently.
Yep.
And I just have residual drunkness mm-hmm. to burn off mm-hmm. in my fat cells. But there have been like informal tour stuff. Then, yeah, it's extremely annoying. I get asked, because I work in a pretty open space right now, so customers walk very, very close to where I'm working, and mm-hmm. Especially during the summer, I get asked the same question about 95% of the time, which is, what do you do with the spent grain?
Yep.
Which is a fine question.
Right.
It goes to a farm, and it becomes cattle food. Mm-hmm. But then a disturbingly high amount of people follow that up with, does it get the cows drunk? No, it's grain. It doesn't get the cows any more drunk than you would get drunk eating a piece of bread.
Actually, it gets them less. There's less effect because it doesn't even have the sugar in it anymore.
Yeah,
it's just
exactly.
Literally like eating like tree
yeah,
bark.
Yeah, it's like it's just grain matter sans
yeah.
sugar.
Yeah.
The other good story I have is when I was working at Hales, there was kind of like a place where people could see us when we were working in the cellar, which they were elevated behind a railing, which was great because it definitely made me feel like I was in a zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And every so often on the bottling line, one comes through with no cap on it, so we would put it to the side, and then we have this kind of like, I don't know, like a rack thing that you put
right.
on top of them, and you can drain all 24 bottles at once.
Mm-hmm.
And it drains onto the floor. And you hose it down later. But I worked with this one guy who wasn't satisfied with that. He liked to actually, like, walk it over to the drain, which was, like, 10 feet away, and drain it right on top. It was fine, harmless, right?
Right.
So he does this during a time when there are a bunch of people watching, and he's draining it, and they all go, boo, boo. So I got a good laugh out of that, just because I was like, you know, what's
right.
this guy doing anyway? Just pour it down over there. But then as he's walking back, he manages to drop all 24 bottles, and they all start cheering like, yeah!
Karma.
So that was my day.
Beer karma.
Yeah.
Dude,
so if you can be like those people and cheer when my coworker who mildly annoys me screws up, then that's the kind of person I like.
In this episode of Personal Arrogance, annoying coworkers. Speaking of beer, dude, this I Do Brew, the more I drink it, this stuff is awesome.
Isn't it really, really good?
It's
I want
really
another.
Good. If
I want a six pack
dude,
of it.
If they made six packs of this stuff, I would buy the hell out of it. It is really, really delicious. I
yep.
like it. All right. We got a Canadian phone call up next. We got a quick Canadian call, and here it is.
Hey, guys. This is Jeff from Canada. A week ago, I got assigned an essay, a research essay, and it could be about anything. You know, scientific, historical, psychological, whatever. And it gave me an idea to research someone whose name I know. I've heard a lot, but I know nothing about Joan of Arc. So I want to ask you guys this question. What historical figure that you know the name of and everyone knows the name of, but they don't really know who they are, what they did, or why they're famous or important historically? Okay, see you guys later, and don't forget to stay arrogant. Right.
You stay arrogant, Canadian. Jesse, any thoughts on this? History major?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like maybe President Jackson.
I love President Jackson, dude.
But if you ask like most people specifically, what did he accomplish? I think
right.
there'd be a lot of question marks.
He accomplished punching some knuckleheads in the face.
Yeah.
That's what he
you
accomplished.
Might get that answer.
Yeah, the guy who I always wonder about, and I have this right? Grover Cleveland, wasn't he assassinated?
Yeah, he was like poisoned or something. Yeah,
yeah.
There's a big question mark after that one.
Grover
there's
Cleveland.
A lot of presidents.
Yeah, I mean Grover Cleveland is a guy. First of all, first name of a Muppet, last name of a cartoon, Grover Cleveland. Or I guess that's not Garfield. That's But Cleveland is a cartoon. Yeah, that's right. Family Guy. Okay. Anyway, Grover Cleveland, only president to serve two non-consecutive terms.
Mm.
So they voted him in, voted him out, and then voted him right back in. And I'm pretty sure he was assassinated in Buffalo, New York. I might be getting Grover Cleveland and Garfield mixed up. But
yeah,
maybe I need to learn more about these guys anyway.
Martin
so, yeah.
Van Buren is another one that's kind of like that.
Van Buren is, basically any like post-Reconstruction presidents up until Wilson. Like, that's, yeah. I don't know anything about any of those guys.
There is kind of a big gray area in American history.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, let's just skip. All right. Civil War's over. Ooh, this is. Now we're bringing up a lot of stuff that I don't like remembering.
Mm hmm.
And isn't there a war coming up here soon? Smash American and World War One. There we go.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
let's just go from here.
It's kind of crazy. Yeah, I'd say any of those middle guys. And then while we get ready for a little tiny Matt roll off here, I got a drunk dial. We're not going to respond to this. We're just going to let the drunk dial sit on its own. So, Jesse, get your die ready. We're rolling right after this.
Hey, guys. This is Mars. I'm in Nevada City, California. I've been thinking about drunk dialing you for a long time, and I finally decided to do it because I don't know, because I'm drunk, and I hope that you're having a lot of fun with your podcast. I love it. I don't really have anything interesting to say other than get off my back.
Well, that was interesting, Mars. Good on you. Mm-hmm. All right, Jesse, you got your die ready. We're going to do a little tiny Matt roll off. We're each going to roll a 20-sided dice, see who gets to talk first on the podcast this week. And here we go.
12.
Rolled an 11.
Oh, yeah.
You edged me. What's your first topo?
Just edged you out. So I want to go back to a popular topic.
Mm-hmm.
That's called roll credits.
Roll credits.
Okay. So, yep. I want to make this more of a regular segment.
Okay.
It's basically what we did with the action movie that we made a little while ago.
Yeah, Blaze of Glory.
Blaze of Glory, yeah. So we'll come up with this. And, Eric, this one's a little bit special because this is based off of a dream I had last night.
I love it already.
So it's going to be based off this dream.
Okay.
And I'm hoping we can turn it into an R-rated comedy of errors.
Oh, I like it.
And so let me just explain the opening action scene.
Okay,
this
so
is
it's
what
a,
the movie opens.
This
with.
Is an action scene?
This is an action scene.
All right, I'm gonna play you a little action music while you're doing this, okay?
Okay.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. So, and this was what my dream was. So, opening scene is a helicopter shot. A frozen peninsula jets into a storming ocean. And it is lined with soldiers lying prone in the frozen snow behind a wall of crude, sharpened stakes. Cut to the perspective of a soldier among the rank and file of his company. Bayonet-tipped muskets pointing towards the gods as soldiers huddle and shiver under their greatcoats and tri-point hats.
What are you dreaming about?
The march order is given. See, this is me in a past life.
Okay, there you go.
So from the relative safety of being deep in the infantry block, the soldier sees the enemy approaching. Men break rank and run, only to be cut down by the commissars behind them. The enemy charges, and suddenly there is a violent melee. Clubbing and stabbing and pistol fire. Battle is lost and our hero's army is routed, and he desperately takes an enemy hostage at knife point to exchange for his own life. But it turns out the enemy hostage he took is the Pope.
What?
And that's... So now we go to opening credits.
All right. I thought you were going to say the enemy that he took was himself.
No, he takes the Pope.
All right.
Hostage.
So the Pope is fighting in this war, huh?
Yeah. He's one of those violent popes.
You're saying tri-tipped hats. So what is this, like French Revolution era?
Yeah, we're talking like 1776 era.
Way too few and comedies set in 1776.
Yeah, I know.
It's like pre-revolution France. I like it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Napoleonic
France. So we
need
to cast our main character.
Okay.
And since it's based on me, should we go with Edward Norton?
I like Norton. I like the call. I feel like Norton's getting a little up there in age, though. I mean, we've always talked about the back. I think the guy who played Ron Weasley should be.
Yeah, actually, that's way better. Yeah.
Because he's looking for something to do.
Okay. Yeah. He's
so Weasley plays.
All that money went right up his nose. All that Harry Potter money.
Exactly. I'll IMDb him real quick. What are the other characters we're trying to cast here?
So we need the Pope.
Okay. Oh, I like it. Okay. So the Pope is definitely played by Steve Carell. I mean, not Steve Carell. Stephen Colbert.
Oh. Ooh.
Famous Catholic Stephen Colbert.
Famous Catholic Stephen Colbert.
Right.
And now, so I guess our antagonist, Ron Weasley.
Right.
He finds himself in a prisoner of war camp, and he has to escape. So it's a great escape comedy. So
I do love Stephen Colbert as the Pope.
Yeah, and we'll get he can be in there too because somehow he gets tied up in this. So Stephen Colbert and Ron Weasley they both need to escape together.
Okay,
how about that?
Well, I like this because I like the Pope being the kind of fumbling, stumbling bad guy like in Spaceballs, basically like Dark Helmet in Spaceballs.
Okay,
and he's guarded by the Swiss Guard, who have the coolest uniforms of any guard in the history of guarddom.
That's true.
So he's in a Swiss Guard prison camp.
Uh-huh.
And what's the guy's name?
Our protagonist?
Yeah.
Jean-Jacques. Because let's stick with the French theme here.
Yeah, and he's European, so he's got to have an English accent.
So, yeah. When you're breaking out of somewhere, you kind of need, you need your crew of people who are good at different things.
Right.
A little Ocean's Eleven-y.
Mm-hmm.
So, what if we have a mime? Who's an actor who can pull off being a mime in a prison camp?
So I'm thinking Andy Serkis, who played Gollum in the Harry Potter series, because he does a lot of motion capture work. But you also want somebody with a very expressive face. I think that Steve Carell might be the good guy to have in here. It's a little bit of a Daily Show reunion.
What about the guy from Hot Rod?
Oh, yeah, Andy Samberg is definitely the mime. He's definitely the mime. Yes, he's the mime.
And then we need the lockpicker.
Ooh, lockpicker. By the way, Rupert Grint is the name.
I had a feeling it was Rupert something.
Rupert Grint.
That's a good British name.
It is. So we need some. So what are the characteristics of the lockpicker? What kind of person is he?
Sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a bit of a womanizer.
Okay. Oh, he's a suave lockpicker.
He's. There could be a scene where he's practicing on a bunch of locks, and it's like a montage scene.
Yep.
And they have like all these locks, you know, like a big comically oversized one with chains, a small one, one where he has to like get his arms in a weird position, and then he finishes it off with the one that he's most skilled at.
Okay.
Like he struggles with the first one a lot. He's getting a little bit better. The one that he gets in an instant is like a chastity belt on a mannequin.
I love this. What I really love about this is if the Pope is rounding up performers and this guy is an escape artist.
Ah, so there you go.
By trade has to be a lockpick. So he's
a Houdini type.
Exactly. Like a Houdini type. So you got the lockpick man and the mime. So, and the mime is basically going to be like your grease man because he has a lot of body control and he can like slide in and out of places, but he also doesn't speak. Yeah. Right.
But yeah.
He's actually a monk. This is where the twist comes because he's actually a monk.
He's a Franciscan monk. Taking a vow of silence.
Exactly. Taking a vow of silence and then on the side has become a mime because it's convenient because it goes. Goes along with what he's trying to do.
With the lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah, those monks, they either become Trappist brewers.
All of these guys are street performers, and the Pope has deemed them annoying. And so he's rounded them up and put them in this prison camp with these POWs.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
anyway, we need the womanizing Houdini type. I'm going with James Franco.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And I think he'd do it.
Rupert needs to have some sort of street performer connection too. Even though he's a soldier, he needs to be able to relate to these guys and gain their trust, and then they'll break out as a team.
Yeah, his father was a street musician who died in the prison camp, as far as he knows. Yeah.
Question mark.
We'll get to that a little later. So his father was a street musician who was rounded up in this group. Who else do we need from the Ocean's 11? We need the Demolitions Man.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Who obviously a strong man.
Yeah, we need the muscle. We need the and then we need
that can be our Demolitions Man is also like a strong man.
Okay. I was thinking you gotta have just a guy who's like crazy about explosives. And then you gotta have like the muscle. Who's like...
Yeah, you could be like an alchemist.
Yeah.
It could be like a guy who like has like powder tricks and stuff that he uses to like amuse crowds.
I like it.
And then you have your strong man who in the singlet, in that stripy singlet, and he'll be the muscle. So I think we got our team.
Okay. So
Jackie Chan, by the way, is the alchemist.
I like it. Jackie Chan is the alchemist. And
Jesse,
then
the Body Ventura... It's the strong man.
It writes itself, guys. Coming out of retirement.
Hollywood, are you listening?
You sure you don't want Dolph Lundgren?
No, I'll stick with Jesse the Body Ventura.
All right. Okay, so we have this guy. So now they're all in this prison camp together. Action comedy and ensues.
So, right. There's got to be like a failed breakout at first.
Right. I like the idea of them trying to do something, getting completely outsmarted, and then outsmarting the outsmarter with the guile of the Franciscan monk / mime played by Andy Samberg.
Yeah, at some point, Andy Samberg, the Franciscan monk / mime, he has to like sound the alarm.
Right.
Right? Like one of the guards sees it and he needs to alert everyone.
Right.
So it'll be perfect. Like him, like comedically, like banging a giant gong or like a giant bell or whatever, but it's just, you know, silenced.
Can the strong man be The Rock?
Yeah, the strong man can be The Rock.
Okay, good.
Totally.
I just feel like he's more comedic than Jesse the Body Ventura.
Okay, so Jackie Chan, the alchemist's explosives expert, manages to get his hands on a cannon.
Okay.
It's a pretty straightforward escape. They're going to blow a hole in the wall with a cannon.
There you go. Another hole in the wall.
And The Rock is going to be, like, he's going to carry it around.
I think that The Rock has got to have some point in the story where he just carries rocks.
Like, okay, scratch that. Yeah. He had a rock. Okay, so you know in old-timey prisons they would actually be busting up rocks? He's been stashing the rocks from that to use as weapons.
This is the greatest thing. So he's been also secretly creating a smelter. So he puts the rocks. He creates cannonballs for this cannon that Jackie Chan is creating, right? And he creates them in like a pot by smelting down the rocks that they've been breaking down in the prison. So he's got this pot over a fire. And Ron Weasley comes in and goes, "Hey, what's that smell?" And he goes, "What, do you smell what The Rock is cooking?"
Love
do
it.
You smell what The Rock is cooking?
Could not get away from that one.
Could
it would
not.
Be criminal to avoid that goop. So they're about to break out.
Okay.
The Franciscan monk, Andy Samberg, is on lookout duty, comedically.
The Franciscan comedic mime.
Gong smashing,
right.
Miming.
Love it.
Him fainting, and he has to fake a choking spell to get the guard to give him the Heimlich, and then he does like a jujitsu.
There also has to be like some point where Andy Samberg comes up with the whole plan and is miming the whole thing, like doing the wall and stuff.
Miming The Rock holding a big cannon.
I love it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Oh, and the lockpick? I guess you don't need a lockpick if you're going to blow hole in the wall.
James Franco, he's just a decoy. That's a whole movie, though. Like, he's the decoy that people are like, hey, what's he doing? He's actually not doing anything. He's just distracting you from what's actually going on.
Gotcha.
Right? So he's the guy who, like, is trying to pick the lock at the front gate while this whole explosive thing is going on.
Or he's going to let out all the other... He's going to unlock all the bunk houses so that everyone can rush the gate.
Right. Exactly.
But then it turns out they all get confronted by the new captain of the Swiss Guard, our hero Jean-Jacques' father.
There he is.
He didn't die in the camp. He was promoted to head of the Swiss Guard. So what do we do with him?
He's a deserter. Oh, man, this is rough.
He's deserted from being a prisoner.
He is. Well, he deserted his side. They saw his ability to lead a band, and therefore, even though if it was a one-man band, and therefore said, hey, we'll give you a deal. If you are the head of the guard, then we will we'll set you free. Okay, so this is what happens, is that the whole movie, this guy's been in the movie. So who's this guy? Alec Baldwin? I think Alec Baldwin's good.
Yeah, that's good.
So Alec Baldwin is doing this whole thing, and he's, like, under his thumb, the crazy guard master for this thing. He's, like, evil. He's terrible. And then about two-thirds way through the movie, you find out that he actually is Jean-Jacques' father. And his father, when he finds this out, stone cold. Okay? He doesn't give a shit. He's like the honey badger.
Right.
So anyway,
in fact, he gives him a rifle butt in the gut just to show him his boss.
Exactly. But then at the very end, so after the Rock carries this bazooka of a cannon through, blows a hole through the wall, everyone's escaping, and James Franco has picked all the locks. All of the prisoners are escaping through this hole in the wall, running out. They can't kill us all at once. All of a sudden, Rupert Grint is the last guy to leave, and Alec Baldwin stops him and has him at bayonet point. And then lets him go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just gives him the nod.
Exactly. He can't do it. He can't do it to his own kin. There's two close-ups on their eyes, and then they kiss each other on the forehead because they're French, and then they leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a giant battle scene is ensuing.
Exactly.
Just reminiscent of the first one at the beginning of the movie.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, James Franco also has to pick the lock to the armory so that all the guys are armed. And then it's like a crazy battle scene. And then the end narration is, and that's how we captured the back line. Once we had both fronts, we could squeeze them in and we won the war.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. They go on. Because they're all soldiers, they go on to flank the big army.
Exactly.
And break their siege.
Oh, this is so good, because you have, like, an alternating, you have a secondary storyline of, like, the siege, and you have, like, the likable general, and he's trying, but he can't make up any ground in this drudgery of trench
work. That
guy's
played by Billy Baldwin.
Exactly. Perfect. And he plays the brother. The older brother of Rupert Grint. So he's also eaten up because his little brother was captured in war.
Perfect.
This is perfect, dude.
All we need is a name.
Oh, this is right.
Prison Break. Wait.
Well, it's got to be something, you know. I mean, you have Hogan's Heroes. You have The Great Escape. You know, this is something that's been done before. Le Prisonnier. Could be a good name.
It could also be like some sort of street performance related one.
Yep.
Or music.
The Buskers of Jailbreaking. But it has to
be
in French.
Really sticking the landing here.
No, like, I like it. I like it. It's the Buskers of Jailbreaking, but it has to be in French. So let me get Google Translate here up.
I don't know what a busker is.
So a busker is just a street performer.
So, oh, okay.
The buskers.
How about
of...
busking out?
I love it. That's it. We've done it. It's busking out.
Busking out.
Love it.
Roll credits.
I I doubt busking is a French term. Oh, it is. Oh, no, it's not.
Oh, it is.
So it's Arts de la Ruine. Arts de la Ruine.
Also known as busking out.
Busking out. I love
it. Coming to a theater 2015.
Yeah.
And IMAX 3D event of the year.
If it's called busking out, it has to have Nick Cannon in it.
Okay.
Anyway, okay, so let's move on to my first topic, which is going to be spooky, scary Halloween. Many of our listeners will be listening to this podcast on Halloween, and many of our listeners will be going to a Halloween party this weekend. Now, last weekend, we covered all of the do's and don'ts and what's happening around Halloween, how to be frugal when you're out there on the street. But what we really need to do is help our loyal Personal Arrogance listeners with their costumes if they've waited to the last moment and they have nothing to wear. So, Jesse, I'm going to have to, I'm going to propose a few costumes to you, and you and I are going to come up with homemade solutions to these costumes. So, first off, it's an oldie but a goodie, something that we love here on the Personal Arrogance podcast. If you want to be, and a great couples costume too, I mean, if you just want to be a sperm whale on your own right, be sperm whale, be Moby Dick, people love that shit. But if you want a couple's costume, you could create something really interesting with sperm whale and giant squid. Enemies, frenemies, lovers.
Oh, that would be great.
Right. But guess what? All of the giant squid costumes are out at Value Village. So how do you make a giant squid costume in your own house?
I feel like cleverly employing some pool noodles.
I say pool noodle traffic cone.
Yeah, done.
Right, done. And you need eyeballs. So if you have two, I mean, paper
tennis
plates.
Balls.
Yeah, paper plates will do, but I think if you have Frisbees, those are ideal.
Because
those will hold
yeah.
up through the night.
There you go. Those cheapo freebie Frisbees you get at the fair.
Yeah, exactly. Get two of those. Those are your eyeballs. Put a traffic cone on your head and get some pool noodles.
The whale is harder.
The whale is definitely harder. Now, we've done, you know, the pool noodles are going to be on clearance. Because go to Big Lots, I'm sure they have a whole bucket full of them. Yeah, the sperm whale, though, this is where it really becomes the kicker. Now, couch cushions, I think, are going to be your big friend here.
I was going to say pillows.
Yeah. But the couch cushions have that nice square shape.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Square like the mighty sperm whale.
Square like the sperm whale. but the real thing here with the sperm whale, so if you have that square shape, you've created it with your couch cushions. How are you going to create that jaw and those crazy teeth? Yeah, this is a tough one. I'm thinking garden hoses and golf tees, but I don't think those are too pointy for the teeth. You need something with girth. Something small and triangular.
Small and triangular. Can you just fold a bunch of those things that you use for, like, you know, you flick it and your buddy puts up the...
Yeah, exactly.
The uprights?
Yeah, it's paper football.
Yeah, paper football and attach that to you're saying garden hose?
Well, garden hose is tough because plus you're probably going to want to save your garden hose for one of these later ones. So you need some kind of jaw to glue it to. Now, cardboard is a little too easy.
Uh-huh.
But I like the paper football. You need something red and something flat and sturdy. You know, it's going to be a burden, but it comes with a tiny hinge. If you have a little red wagon, radio flyer, and you line it with paper footballs, and then you situate it so that you're going to have to, like, get a belt or something and tighten it around your torso, around your chest, and then tuck the handle into your belt, and then you'll be able to have...
I've got a better idea.
Okay.
Comic book long boxes.
Okay.
You're familiar with them?
Yes.
They're cardboard. They're white,
mm-hmm.
like the sperm whale. The lid to that, you flip it upside down. Then you just tape on the cardboard, the footballs.
Right.
That's your lower hinge.
There you go.
And I kind of want to use like a sheet. Cover it a sheet. It's almost a take on the old standby goes.
I love it.
And then you get your hands under the sheet, and you can operate the jaw of your thing. Your jaw with your hands.
Yeah, and then you could create the square head with the couch cushions. See, I'm not golden.
I'm not convinced that they have a super square head.
They do. The sperm whales have a crazy square head.
Okay.
It's like a square head and a streamlined body. That's the benchmark of a sperm whale.
All right. Throw some couch cushions in there.
Yeah,
then.
Throw some couch cushions. All right. So we have that one figured out. Now, if you want to be, and this goes right along with the mighty sperm whale, but if you're looking for something more along the lines of Cthulhu, I think that the main thing here is that you can use that garden hose, and you know what?
Oh, yeah.
Cut it up, because you're not going to use it till April. So you can cut it up, get a belt or something, and just create a bunch of tentacles that run off of your face.
Uh-huh.
Right? Wings are easy. Just rip the shutters off of your house. This is all very simple stuff, people.
Uh-huh.
Right. Justin, you have a costume you want to throw me? A little curveball? A little last-minute Halloween costume?
How about a mime?
Mm-hmm.
Get the yoga pants.
Thought you would do it. Yoga pants, definitely. Put on your wife's yoga pants. Undershirt, electric tape, and then just grab the flower out of the cupboard and use that on your face.
Mm-hmm.
Just get a nice powder. Just remember to breathe out while you're patting it on you, because otherwise you'll get
the light.
Have
you ever actually tried to use powder on someone's face?
No.
I have once. My buddy, we're going to a Halloween costume we weren't prepared for.
Oh, wow. This sounds familiar.
My buddy wanted to go as a ghost, and we thought we could just do it with powder. It did not work at all.
Mm. Well, flour works well in the hair, but it comes out horribly. Because it basically just turns
into... turns into goo.
Right, it turns into dough in the shower. You're going to want to avoid that. Let's go through some classic superheroes. So, of course, you got Spider-Man. So, you know, you got sweatpants, sweatshirt. You know, if you have a red turtleneck that you can cut into a dickie and then wear it over the sweatshirt, that'll work. But the real trick here is you got to have the webs, right?
Uh-huh.
Anything in the house we can use for webs. And you got twine. If you can snag some silly string, that's going to really work
for
you.
Yeah, silly string will take you a long way.
Right.
what about, like, cotton balls that are threaded fishing line?
Already love it. That's perfect.
There you go.
That's actually a legitimate thing, Jesse. Just string out some cotton balls and wrap them around fishing line.
Uh-huh.
And wear those around your neck, or wear those around your wrists, and then, ski
mask. Or even
mask
dental
and,
floss if you're a dentist.
Yeah, if you're a dentist. And then, of course, you have the Doc Ock. You're also going to want to employ the pool noodles, but then you're going to want to wrap them in tin foil.
Uh-huh.
Aluminum
That's good.
Foil. Some ski goggles, a trench coat, and you're all good. So, I mean, don't fret, people, because Halloween is here, and it's very, very simple to create your homemade costume. So be a part of the magic. Be a part of the fun. Don't be one of those people who doesn't dress up for the holiday, because it's a fun thing. Really, I think Halloween is, like, in my top three holidays.
You could go as a Settler of Catan.
Love it.
Cut out some hex shapes from cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
Go smear one with dirt.
Right.
Glue a stick to one.
Yep, cotton balls.
Cotton balls to the third.
Right.
A stone, little rocks, yep. And then what's the one I'm forgetting? Oh, wheat.
Grain.
The flour, again. Perfect.
And then put those all on the board and then wear a black hat and be the robber and you're stealing all of them.
Yeah, perfect.
Love
and then steal one item of everyone's costume at the party.
You're the bandit.
You're the
I love it, dude. Yeah, anyway, Halloween's here, guys, so be a Halloweeny. Don't be a weenie, be a Halloweeny.
Nice. Love it.
All right, let's get on to some trivia this week. We are doing Trivial Pursuit once again, Genus 1. I'm going to roll a six-sided die, see which topic we're doing, and I'm not doing entertainment, and we are doing sports and leisure.
Do you think we should? We went 0-4 last week.
I'm going to do it, dude.
All right.
I really read up on my 1930s boxers, so.
All good for you.
But unfortunately, it was the underwear, not the sport. Here we go. What color bottles do good Rhine wines come in?
This is sports related?
Sports and leisure. So it's basically sports and alcohol.
Sports and booze.
Yeah.
Good Rhine wine comes in, I'll say green.
All right. I was going to say green. I'll go clear. Brown.
It's either Yeah, well, we really bungled that one.
Yep, this was for me. Who swept the men's alpine skiing events at the 1968 Winter Olympics? This one's easy. Sjorn Bjorgensen.
No, it's Bjorn Sforgensen.
Actually, it's Jean-Claude Killy.
Oh, a hero from our
Yeah, I think we have the lockpick name here. Okay, Jesse, this one's for you. What are snowballs to a hot rodder?
What are snowballs to a hot rodder? Snowballs to a hot rodder. What are the things on the engine where it's like it's a V8, it's got eight?
Valves? V8s?
Okay, those.
Okay. I'm going to go with the little the dangly dice that hang from your rearview mirror.
It can't be.
White-walled tires.
Oh, snowballs.
Why can't we have hot rodders anymore? Now it's all just street racers. You know, hot rodders are way cooler.
Man.
All right, Jesse, and this one's for me. Who was the first woman to race in the Indianapolis 500? Jean Grey.
I'll say Betty White.
Janet Guthrie. I got the first and last letter correct. Man, maybe we shouldn't do sports and leisure anymore. It's like right along the lines of entertainment. All right. Geography tiebreaker. Whoever is closest geographically to the answer will win. We've actually had that one before. I'm going to find one that we haven't had. Here we go. We've had that one before as well. All right. Here we go. What is the wettest state in the United States? Jesse, go.
The wettest state in the United States is Hawaii.
All right, I'm just going to cover my bases and say California so that if it's any other state, I win. And it's Hawaii, Jesse, you win.
All right.
All right, well, you win everything this week, so what's your Seco Topo?
Yeah, well, let's pick another classic out and do Is It Worse Than a Punch in the Face?
Is it worse than a punch in the face?
You're going to have to actually make songs for some
reason. I know, right? So what have we got this week?
Okay, so the question is, I'll pose these theoretical situations to Eric, and he'll decide whether or not it's worse than getting punched in the face by an Alaskan on bath salts.
There you go.
And getting knocked off your tricycle. Yep. So, this one happened to me the other day. Getting in line at the grocery store and getting stuck behind what I call special needs customers.
What are these special needs customers?
Special needs customers are the customers that are bringing attention to like things on the bill and being like, actually, these beans are 89 cents, not 99 cents.
Oh, my God.
I got hit by a double whammy of them.
Wow.
I got a guy who was just arguing the bill or something, mm-hmm. and the cashier actually said, well, this is going to take a while. I'm like, great. And I chose that line because it was the shortest.
Right.
And the people in front of me that would be in front of me didn't have that much. I'm like, all right, this guy's almost done. These people bang out. Then mm-hmm. it's me.
Yep.
And so I load up. And normally I'm a self-checkout guy, but I load it up
yep.
because I had, like, a bunch of produce.
There you go.
And so then he gets through, and then they start arguing, and the people in front of me, their total was, like, $10 something, and they were trying to get it knocked down to, like,
$8.50.
And, like, I would spend $2 not to have this interaction.
You should have just done that. You should have just thrown $2 at them.
Exactly. But they argued, manager comes over, print out a receipt, and then they proceed to start arguing again.
Oh, God.
I glance over at the self-checkout, and I actually take all my stuff off and yep. go to self-checkout.
Yeah, that's worse than a punch. Also, doing self-checkout produce is also pretty bad. I've tried to do that before, and like every single item that was produce that I rang up got like an error on it.
Oh, really?
They're like, please place it in the cart. This is what happened. It said, please place it in the bagging area. I place it in the bagging area. It says, please remove forward item from bagging area. I remove it. It says, please place it in the bagging area. Oh, it was the worst.
Yeah.
That's all worse than a punch in the face, dude.
All of that. Okay, yeah. So I got new work boots for the first time in 3 years.
There you go. What happened? What happened to the old extra tufts? Did you bury them in the backyard?
Right now, I'm just using them for like homebrewing because they're not like totally awful.
How much duct tape is on them?
A lot.
Okay.
A lot. So I got new work boots, and my old ones were like molded to my feet perfectly, and now my new ones are like all wonky, and it's actually like giving me back pain. And I don't know, man. I miss my extra tufts that fit like a glove, and now these new ones are a different brand, and they're just not as good.
Yep. That'll happen.
Worse than a punch in the face?
Well, you know what's not worse than a punch in the face is buying some insoles, dude. Just get some good custom insoles that you like, and then it doesn't matter what shoes you wear. You just put your insoles in and you're comfy.
I have the insoles in.
Yeah.
But they come up on the arch further than my old insoles.
Yeah, there
which
you
I feel like in the long run is going to be good, but it's taking a lot of adjustment.
Well, you flat-footed man, you're never going to get drafted, but I don't think that's worse than a punch in the face.
Okay. So, number 3 out of 4 here is, so sometimes I have to wake up really early in the morning.
Yeah.
And I don't want to wake up my wife too bad.
Yep.
So, lights are off, trying to be quiet, but sometimes I neglect to do the sufficient pre-pro in the morning.
Right.
And I'm, like, searching in the dark for my keys, trying to be quiet, but, like, getting more and more frustrated as I'm getting later and later for work.
Right.
Worse than a punch in the face?
I ran into this problem today, and it's a new problem because it's fucking dark now in the morning.
Yeah, it is.
It used to be light. Now it's dark.
Yeah.
I had this exact same problem this morning. But guess what, dude? Like, my wife and I are on like very different schedules. So some mornings she's working at 6 a.m., which means she wakes up at 4:45. Other mornings she's not working at all because she works in a hospital. She works 3 days a week. So, you know, on those mornings I'm getting up for work and she's sleeping in. So we're always on this like different schedule thing. And, you know, the mornings that she wakes me up, I just get back to sleep. It's not a big deal. So I'm going to say not worse than a punch in the face.
Okay.
Maybe for you, but not for her. Unless you, like, really can't get back to sleep. The funny thing is, like, if I wake up at 3 a.m., there's no way I'm getting back to sleep. If I wake up at 6:50 a.m., I am definitely back asleep within 2 minutes.
That's funny.
Right?
All right. So our fourth and final one comes from stealing this from the Facebook Roundup.
Oh,
Alan
yeah.
Wright wrote in and asked, worse than a punch in the face? I got about 7 to 8 hours into Arkham Origins. Pretty good, by the way. Yeah. And my save got corrupted. Have you had one of these experiences? I think every gamer has.
Yeah. It's this is really bad, though. I mean, this is a pervasive problem with Arkham Origins. Today, Polygon downgraded it from a 7 to a 4 because of this.
Whoa.
And this is after the first update that they released on it.
Wow.
So they really fucked themselves over. And I apologize for recommending this game in previous episodes because if you're going to pay $60 for a game, to have it not work so pervasively with so many users is inexcusable, especially in today's knee-jerk gaming environment. So bad on you. And yes, it's worse than a punch in the face.
All I gotta say is every new beginning comes from some other new beginning's end.
There you go.
So just use it as an opportunity to do better than you did before.
Speed run.
And, yeah, exactly. Speed. All right, that's it.
All right. See if you can get through those 8 hours of gameplay in 6 hours this time.
Fun.
All right. And then for my second topic this week, I'm also going to be going to our email list. A good loyal listener here. Chris Patterson wrote in, and, you know, we're big PNW, Pacific Northwest homers on here, and he had some questions for us. He says, so me and my family are considering a move to the Pacific Northwest, and I have done some research as well as some snooping around with friends and have received a bunch of differing opinions and information, so I thought I'd ask you guys. Number one, the Seattle freeze. Is it real? Is it something that is a hindrance to job searching, house hunting, school applying, etc.? Two is rent. Good lords, you guys pay some hefty rental prices. There are about three places that look affordable in Linwood and North, Federal Way and South, and Bremerton/Port Orchard. I think Federal Way looks pretty crummy to me, but I might be wrong. Bremerton looks the nicest, but what a pain to commute, right? What is your guys' take on these areas? Any suggestions on other places to look? And three, the area looks great for families compared to where I am now. Do you guys concur or warn me to stay away because you don't like outsiders, which would be an answer to question one? So, I, you know, we're big homers here. I know
came
I'm especially
to the right place.
Yeah. for this stuff. And number one, Seattle Freeze. Seattle Freeze is I think, definitely a real
thing.
I've
not heard... What is this? I hadn't heard of this.
Oh, the Seattle Freeze is basically you get here and nobody wants to talk to you or be your friend.
Oh. Isn't it like that in every city?
I don't think so. Huh. Like, Seattle people are very insular. And, you know, it breeds a couple different kinds of people. First of all, you have very creative, a lot of great music comes out of Seattle. But then also a lot of serial killers come out of the Pacific Northwest as well. So you're going to be a recluse if you're here because the winter starts now and ends in May.
But you have a family, so that's like built-in friends.
It is. And it's a real thing, but you can also take steps. So a lot of the people that I hang out with now who are my Seattle friends are actually not from Seattle. Like, they're from Minnesota.
You have an expat community.
Yeah, they're from Minnesota. They're from San Diego. They're people who have moved to the city. And I met most of the people who I hang out with now, I either met through my sister or I met through my softball team. So, like, you could take steps. You just have to actively seek out new friends and be friendly. Because people are not going to overtly be friendly or seek you out here. And, you know, people hunker down. It's a hunker down town.
It is a hunker down town. When I was there, I hunkered down pretty hard.
Yeah.
And then left.
Second question is three places that are affordable. Lynnwood, Federal Way, and Bremerton. So, you know, Jesse and I are from Bremerton.
Right.
And this is, like, over on the west side. You know, it's probably a nice place to raise a family. It's a good... You know, the rent is really cheap there. You can rent a whole house in Bremerton for the price of a one-bedroom apartment in Seattle.
It's not... Don't get the idea that this is a suburb of Seattle, though.
It's not. If you're looking at least a two-hour commute each way if you're going to be going to Seattle and back home.
Right.
So that's an hour ferry ride and then whatever residual travel you have on either end.
Yeah. I mean, not 2 hours. Hour and a half.
At least an hour and a half. I'd say an hour and a half to 2 hours because I live 6 miles away from where I work. It takes me 45 minutes to get to work in the morning. Mm. So depending on where you're coming from on the ferry, it could be easily 2 hours each way. So,
yeah, that's true.
Driving
in Seattle sucks. I wouldn't recommend living in Bremerton if you want to work in Seattle.
Definitely. And you've done that commute before.
I have. It stinks.
And then Federal Way to the south. Federal Way, you had the right idea. If you don't want to go south, you want to go north if you want an affordable suburb. Or you want to go a little bit east. Go to the east side, Bury and Kirkland. Issaquah. There's plenty of places you can commute to the city. You just want to avoid south, and you probably don't want to take a ferry.
Yeah, I've known a lot of people who grew up in Sammamish and really liked it.
Yeah. And then good for families.
But move to Port Townsend.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
screw
only,
the city.
You know,
move out to real Washington, like where I live.
Port Townsend is a real two-hour commute.
If you move to Seattle, Port Townsend, you would be saying farewell to Seattle, like I did. But it was the right choice.
Other thing about this is Seattle Freeze, it's real, but it shouldn't get in the way of you getting a job or house hunting or school applying. People are still very, like, they'll help you out, and it's like a business. Like, if you're within a business or something, they'll be fine to you. It's just the friends that's the hard part.
Yeah, no one's going to refuse you a job because you're not from Seattle.
Exactly. And then finally, good for families. Jess, do you think that Seattle's a good place to raise a fam?
Sure, a lot of people do it.
A lot of people do it.
I chose not to.
I think that if you're going to raise a family, I would definitely go to the suburbs. It sounds, Chris, that you are, like, primed for the suburbs.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little cheaper. You could still commute into the city if you want, but you don't want to just deal with, like, the city. Like, if you have a family, you want to deal with raising your family, having, a good dynamic there. And, you know, the city's a city. It's a major metropolitan area. It's the 13th largest metropolitan area in the country. So, but there's also plenty of places you can go out in the outskirts and have a good time. And, Chris, we really welcome you here.
Yeah.
We love Pacific Northwest. I love Seattle so much. It's my town. I plan to live here for the rest of my life. And Jesse lives 2 hours away. So there you go.
In real Washington. You know, Bellingham's a great city, too.
Yeah.
If you don't have to live in Seattle.
No.
Bellingham's fantastic.
There you go. All right. Well, Chris, thank you so much, and we just wanted to give you a little wrap on Seattle. And so we're going to move on, but before we do, we want to talk about the Ball Move Network. Of course, Watching Dead is happening right now, so be sure to listen to that as you are watching Walking Dead. There are instant podcasts. There are the regular podcasts. There's Aaron's Survival Guides. These are all stretch goals that you unlocked during the Watching Dead Kickstarter, so be sure to listen to the Watching Dead. Of course, there's the Because Show, which is like us, but if we were ladies and we lived in Los Angeles, there is the Up Yours Downstairs is Get Off My Running Back, My Football podcast, which is on there, and we are on there as well. Go to baldmove.com and be a part of the Bald Move family. And then if you want to get in touch with us, go ahead and write us an email, personalarrogance@gmail.com. You can give us a call, leave us a voicemail at 360-362-0024. And then you can also find us on Twitter. We're at Personal Podcast. We're on Facebook. We have our Personal Arrogance Facebook page. We have our Bald Move Facebook page. We're everywhere online, so get in touch with us. Speaking of Facebook, each week we post on Facebook. Go in there and say, hey, we're recording tonight. We'd love to, if you talk to us and told us what you want us to talk about. And that's something we call the Facebook Roundup, which is what we are going to talk about right now. So starting off, Angela Martinez said she's in Vegas, and she's wondering if we have any Vegas hotspots. I went ahead.
She's traveling all around.
Yeah, she's on a road trip.
Love it.
So I'll just read what I wrote her, because I wanted to make sure she had this info for partying tonight. I said, I'll answer on the podcast, but since you're there now, I'll give you some spots. If you're going clubbing, I would recommend Tryst, Tao, or Chateau. Also, a moon at the Palms is pretty cool. If you want to gamble, don't go to the big casinos. Hit up one of the smaller strip casinos like Casino Royale. They have smaller minimum bets and a friendlier atmosphere. There are so many great places to eat, but one of my favorites is Bradley Ogden at Caesar's Palace. If you're going to see a show, go to see Penn & Teller at the Rio. My favorite pool in Vegas is at the Mirage. I also really love the atmosphere at New York, specifically the bar at Times Square, Dueling Piano Bar. Also, be sure to catch the best free show in Vegas, The Fountains at the Bellagio. I've been to Vegas a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
As I was writing that, I was like, geez, I know Vegas kind of well. Maybe I should go there with my wife, because I think I'd be able to... It's like a cheap place to go, and like I think I'd be able to show us a good time. Mike Merriman says, what would you rather have, a Super Bowl victory for the Seahawks or a World Series championship for the Mariners? Jesse, I think I'll answer for you. That's a Super Bowl, but for me, I would rather have the Mariners a World Series championship.
Yeah.
So badly. Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm a Mariners fan. I've been a Mariners fan much longer than I've been a Seahawks fan. Alan Wright says, we covered that. Mitch says, put 20 on red for Eric. Mitch was with me when I put 20 on red in Las Vegas, and I won. So always put 20 on red if you're in Vegas. Jacob Jones Martinez says, if you could rename the professional football team in Washington, D.C., what would you name them? Oh, and if an animal like Australian camels are domesticated, then go wild. They are feral,
they
not are technically
feral.
Wild.
I know.
Which means that Jacob Jones Martinez has just answered his own question, the Washington Feral Camels.
I'm going to stick with the tradition. We don't have to change everything.
Mm-hmm.
I say you just tack on potatoes to the end.
Make up
the Washington Redskin Potatoes.
That's great.
Now it's fine. Just change the image.
To a potato.
On the side to a big potato, and you're good.
Redskin potatoes are delicious.
They do kind of have some camel colors, though.
That's true.
They're yellow.
Those feral camels.
I like that.
Tanner says, I know you guys are big fans of Northwest breweries, but do you have a favorite East Coast brewery? I live in Florida and have been enjoying some beers from both Sweetwater and Cigar City lately. Jesse, what's your favorite East Coast brew?
It's hard. I mean, we don't get them over here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I have to say Dogfish Head, because that's like the only East Coast brewer we get over here besides Sam Adams.
Yeah, I go Dogfish Head for sure. I think they were recently... Weren't they recently voted best brewery in America?
Yeah. If I lived over there, I'm sure I would have a different answer.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's a reason why we do, because not only do we have a ton of West Coast brews, but they also edge out all of the East Coast brews. Even the Midwest Coast brews. Like, Aaron brings this stuff over. I'm like, I've never heard of any of this shit before.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
I mean,
Sun King is good and stuff, but it's like you just don't get it.
Yeah.
I'll have, like, bottles in the bottle shop, like 10 Alaskan breweries, but nothing from Virginia.
East of Denver, don't even talk to me. Levi Jetty, speaking of Denver, says, I'm joining a fantasy RPG group at my local gaming store, any good character ideas. The setting is Iron Kingdom's, in parentheses, War Machine. A fantasy. So is this like you draft RPG characters?
No, it's like D&D.
Oh, okay. Sorry, fantasy RPG group got me thrown off.
Are you serious?
No, I'm just joking.
Oh, man, you got me.
I got you.
On that one.
So War Machine Universe, Jesse, you have experience with this. Any good character ideas for Levi here?
Yeah, you can pretty much steal the same type of character that you would do in D&D. If I played D&D again, I think I would want to do a fighter that desperately wanted to be a cleric, but just didn't have whatever the divine gift is. So it's just as like religiously a zealot and like a member of a church and helps out and does everything a cleric mm-hmm. would do, except doesn't have the spells and is just a fighter instead and is like kind of jealous of the other clerics.
So basically you want to be Andy Samberg and busking out.
Yeah, same character.
All right. Robert Cooper asks, favorite Pearl Jam songs? I'm going to see them in Charlotte. And I type this as I wait on a beer. Robert, I think my favorite Pearl Jam song is the one that goes like this. I think that's my favorite one.
My favorite one is whatever one is not playing. I don't like Pearl Jam.
The crazy thing about Pearl Jam is that every time Seattle plays on Fox, every time the Seahawks play on Fox, they always play Pearl Jam at the breaks.
Sometimes they play Nirvana.
That's true. I mean, Jeremy spoke it. Why aren't they playing Macklemore every break?
Yeah.
I guess it's too expensive.
Why aren't they playing Sir Mix-a-Lot?
That's a good question. Anthony asks, worst Halloween costume?
It would be great, though, if it got to commercial and it's just, a look, Big Butson again, not lie.
Yeah, and you're showing all the defensive linemen doing their dances, shaking their big old butts.
That would be great.
That would be awesome, actually. Anthony asks, worst Halloween costume. This one's tough.
Worst Halloween costume.
Yeah. I'm going to go with sales clerk.
Like, no, if you the just... worst Halloween costume is the guy who doesn't wear one and is like,
I'm going as a serial killer. They look just like everyone else.
Yeah, I was trying to channel a douchebag.
That's where I was going. I was like, don't be a sales clerk and just wear your name tag from work and say that's your costume.
I was, I actually got tomorrow off, but I was going to go as Ron Swanson.
Nice.
Which is not a stretch for me.
No, not really.
But I'm going to anyway. Although I can't decide if I'm going to wear my DJ Lance costume all day tomorrow.
What's DJ Lance?
He's the host from the kids show Yo Gabba Gabba.
Okay. Sound like a dad.
You'll see it when you come to the Russell Nation's birthday party.
Okay, sounds good. Finally, Anthony also tagged on. Also, why don't we wear costumes for other holidays? Arbor Day, Leap Day. I wonder why, too. This is one thing I'm going to instigate. Because Lydia and I were supposed to go to a Halloween party this past weekend, and due to circumstances beyond our control, we could not make it. And I was super bummed. And I was like, dude, I just, like, when I was in college, every fucking party was a costume party. Which means Eric is going to throw some fucking costume parties this year.
Eric's going to be Batman for every holiday.
Yeah, they don't call Batman Forever for nothing, dude. Yeah.
I like it, but I would... For Arbor Day, dress up as a tree. I like it.
No, dress up as John Muir.
Leap Day, dress up as a frog.
Oh, I like that. Mole Day, dress up like a mole. Like a mole man.
Hans Mole Man from Simpsons.
Love it. All right, well, that's our Facebook roundup this week. We did get one email, and I just want to touch on it really quick. This one comes from Rachel, and she says, howdy, y'all. I keep hearing Eric mention how much he loves Death Cab for Cutie, and I wanted to say I also have enormous love for this band, Air 5 to you, Rachel. They continually prove to be my favorite as far as music, lyrics, and personality. Eric, I'm curious, what are your favorite albums and or songs? Have you seen them live? Plans was the first album I heard, so I have sentimental value for it, but Narrow Stairs and Codes of Keys are also up there. My favorite songs include Tiny Vessels, I Will Possess Your Heart, and Brothers on a Hotel Bed. Also, what up, Jesse? So he doesn't feel out. Stay arrogant.
This leads into... I zoned out for a minute.
this leads into my first recommendation, Rachel. Death Cab for Cutie is my favorite band of all. Why don't they play Death Cab for Cutie on the breaks?
Too expensive.
I guess so. But this
Bellingham Heroes.
This and Bremerton Hero.
Yeah.
Ben Gibbard, bro. So, Rachel, to answer your question, my favorite songs are Movie Script Ending, Grapevine Fires, and Transatlanticism. And my favorite albums are Transatlanticism and the Photo album. I know people don't really care about this, but this does lead into my first recommendation, which is the Death Cab for Cutie Transatlanticism 10th Anniversary Demos album. They released the demos for all the songs on Transatlanticism. You can get it on iTunes right now for $5. It's really interesting. It's really cool. It's basically a mix of Death Cab and Postal Service. If you want some music, put it in your ears. Jesse, what's your first reco?
You know, I spent a bit of time trying to think of them. I even asked Tasha, like, what's something we've been doing lately that I can recommend that's been fun? And she put it pretty well when she said, we haven't really been doing anything new.
Oh, man.
But it's fine. I'm in a nice, time killer chunk right now of just go to work, play with baby, watch Frasier, go to bed.
So what's going on with Frasier?
Well, I'm in season 10 now.
Okay.
The whole Daphne Niles thing has been wrapped up, and they're together now and married. And Zooey Deschanel just guest starred as an annoying 20-year-old.
Wow, I didn't know she was on the show.
20-something. Yeah, she has blonde hair, so Tasha was like, there's the Zooey Deschanel. I was like, I don't think so. Because she looks totally different. But
she had blonde hair in Elf, dude.
Yeah, no, that's what she said. She's like, I think this was the Elf years. I was like, I don't think she was in Elf.
That's crazy, dude. Elf came out before Anchorman.
Really?
Put that in your pot and smoke it.
There you go. And Elf is closer to 1990 than the moon landing is. Exactly. That one might be true.
Perfect. My second record this week is going to be the Canon EOS Rebel T3i, which I just bought, which I'm very excited about. And we're going to do some video stuff with it, and I'm very excited about it. And they're only like $480. So if you want a high-quality video camera, like, the last video camera I bought cost $800, and it's nowhere near as good as this video camera. And it's about half the price. So, the Canon EOS Rebel, now they're on the T4i. I think they're coming up with the T5i. But get something in the Rebel line if you want a video camera for good cost and full 1080p video. So, there you go.
Rebel,
and then
Rebel, baby.
And then I think Jesse Sekoreko is be a dad.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, if you feel like it, go for it.
Dad time. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in this week for another hour of personal arrogance, or over an hour of personal arrogance. And remember that wherever you go,
and whatever you do,
please stay arrogant.